Hello, old-time radio fans, and welcome to another hour of entertainment and thrills from the Golden Age of Radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to join me once again as we gather around the old part of the radio. Recently, I learned of the sad news that Doris Day had passed away at the ripe old age of 97. I have heard a few of her songs and watched a few episodes of the Doris Day Show on MeTV a few years ago. I always enjoyed her singing and acting, and I appreciated her love of animals. Doris Day was born on April 3, 1922, in Cincinnati, and passed away from pneumonia on May 13, 2019, in Carmel Valley Village, California. I did some searching and came up with several old-time radio musical programs featuring Day, and I selected one to start off today's program. The Bob Hope Show ran from January 4, 1935 until April 21, 1955, a long run of just over 20 years, and featured many musical guest stars over the years. Today's program first aired Monday, October 4, 1948 at 10:30 p.m. on CBS and is simply titled Doris Day.
Well, I thought...
Me too.
So do I.
How about you?
It's the new Swan Show with our great singing star, Doris Day.
Well, I swan.
A new discovery, Bill Farrell.
How do you do?
The four hits and a miss, the president of the Cleveland Indians ball team, Bill Veeck, and the new Les Brown Band.
We just want exclusively, how about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me? My name is Robert Swansea Hope.
Bob Hope, Swan's Eye View of the News. New York, New York. This week, a board of artists selected as the five most virile-looking men in the country, Clark Gable, Victor Mature, Lou Boudreau, Governor Earl Warren, and radio singer Jack Smith.
Of course, you can see they made a terrible mistake. I don't know how they picked that Gable over me. His chest measures 42 inches. I've got the same measurement, and besides, he can't take his off. And Jack Smith was picked. He has a smile in his voice. You know how he gets that giggly effect, don't you? He's the only singer who wears a turtleneck sweater with live turtles. Of course, this isn't the first time Lou Boudreau has won a contest. After the World Series, the girls at Cleveland voted him the man they would most like to slide into home with.
Detroit, Michigan. The nation's car owners were getting their first look into the future this week as the new 1949 model started rolling off the assembly line.
Yeah, those new cars are really low slung. One driver on Sunset Boulevard looked back, saw a pedestrian still standing and said, "Just my luck, I had to pick a bow-legged one." And there's so many automatic gadgets on those new autos, they're almost human. One of them is wonderful. When you see a woman driver coming your way, you press a button, the whole car folds up into a submarine and dives into the nearest manhole. But those new midget cars are very practical. When the engine starts missing, you don't need a mechanic. You just throw it over your shoulder and burp it.
Los Angeles, California. It's top hat, white tie, and tails for music lovers here tonight. As the curtain rises on the 1948 opera season at the Shrine Auditorium.
Opera, that's a chorus of 25 arguing with F.E. Boone over who's first again with Spaghetti Man. Boy, was that opera opening a ritzy affair. All the women came dressed in their best furs. I heard one mink coat say to another, "Don't turn your nose up at me. I knew you when you were eating lettuce in the San Fernando Valley." I caused quite a sensation with the outfit I was wearing. I don't know why I was only wearing a cutaway coat, but I didn't know you weren't supposed to wear cutaway pants. It was the first time anybody ever saw shorts made out of swan wrappers. And boy, was that opera house really jammed with people. I wondered why it kept snowing in the second act of Il Trovatore. Then I found out I was watching it through the popcorn machine in the lobby.
Paris. Paris, France, the Security Council of the UN returned to normal this week as, after 10 days of sulking, Andrei Vyshinsky finally broke his campaign of silence.
Don't think it was easy for Vyshinsky to keep the silence. For 10 days, he had to quit eating borscht. Imagine Vyshinsky going to the UN and not talking. That's like Artie Shaw going to a wedding and being best man. The Russians say they can't do anything until they get international cooperation. International cooperation. That show us how to make the atom bomb, and we'll show you where New York City used to be. Thank you. Say hi. Hi, the lungs. It's time to sell the stuff.
Sorry, Bob. I'm just not up to it tonight. I can't do it.
Hi. The Lever brothers have turned up their ear trumpets. They're waiting.
I'm afraid not, Bob. It's impossible.
You better force yourself. You'll be back at your old job rolling bandages for young Dr. Christian. Come on, mate, with a pitch high.
Oh, Jeffrey, if only I could. If only I could tell the folks about the beauty of a bar of mild, pure Swan floating majestically in the kitchen sink. But when I try the vision of those velvet, rich, creamy suds, those suds that are so kind to your hands, why, it leaves me speechless. I just can't say a word.
I'd swear I heard something. Maybe it was just the rustle of his taffeta waistcoat.
Well, don't mock me, Robert. I'm trying. Gad, how I'm trying. I long to tell the people that Swan gets dishes done quicker because those glamorous, beautiful Swan suds rinse away so completely, you don't have to do anything.
You know, folks, you could avoid all this if you just go out and buy the stuff.
I long to tell them that Swan lasts longer because it's firmer, that it washes more dishes per penny. But then I come to that line, that lovely, poetic line. Swan is made by a modern pop patented process that no other... Well, it's lovely and poetic. A patented process that no other soap can use.
I don't bother you, do I, Daddy?
You know, Bob, that does it to me. Why, it's like an ode from Keats, a sonnet from Shelley.
Sounds more like a plug from Lever Brothers.
Inside, my heart is crying. Use half in the kitchen, half in the bath, and you'll find that Swan is the best soap afloat. But I can't say it, Bob. I can't say it. And so, Bob...
Yes, hi.
There will be no commercial.
Tune in next week, folks. There'll be no hi ever back.
Well, I Swan...
Gee whiz!
That's right. All right, crack it. There's our junior baritone, Bill Farrell, biting into the hit parade with Maybe You'll Be There. Enter, Bill.
Each time I see a crowd of people, just like a fool, I stop and stare. It's really not the proper thing to do, but maybe you'll be there. I go out walking after midnight along the lonely thoroughfare. It's not the time or place to look for you, but maybe you're there. You said your arms would always hold me. You said your lips were mine alone to kiss.
Now
on the stairs, with anxious heart I'll hurry to the door, and maybe you'll
next week, look out. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis will be with us.
Well, folks, you've all heard the old saying, it pays to advertise. We've often wondered what it would be like if a presidential candidate's campaign was handled by an advertising agency. So let's look in on one of the country's biggest advertising geniuses.
Good morning, IQ.
Don't waste time on words, Miss Wilson. I'm a busy man. I have to go up and do the skywriting myself this morning. Can't trust those skywriters.
Yes, I noticed yesterday in the Pepsi-Cola ads there was a hyphen between every letter.
I know. The pilot was drunk and he got the hiccups. Have to do everything myself.
Gee, just look at your plane out there, Chief. It's got bullet holes in it.
Yeah, I got caught in the airlift over Glendale. I have to do everything myself.
Is that what made you so late, boss?
Well, I was part of it. I had to stop at the hospital and spend some time in the maternity ward.
Oh, is your wife there?
No, she couldn't make it. I have to do everything myself. I tell you... Incidentally, Miss Wilson, bring for the song team I hired to write advertising jingles.
Okay.
Did you call for us, Chief?
Yes, have you finished that jingle about old stepmother's whiskey?
We sure did, IQ. Now just listen to this.
Old stepmother bourbon is just the thing for a whiskey fizz. Drink a quart when you feel sad. Drink 2 quarts and you'll drop dead.
Back in the dungeon. That ought to get about 500 new members for Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll send for you later.
Right.
Oh, Chief, there's a gentleman waiting in the lobby to see you. He says his name is Faultless J. Quink.
Faultless J. Quink. Well, that's the man I've been expecting. His party has paid us $50,000 to handle his campaign for the presidency. Show him right in and leave us alone.
Right this way.
How do you do, sir? I presume you're the advertising wizard, IQ Hope.
That's right. Glad to meet you, Mr. Quink. And I might say that you look like real presidential timber.
Oh, I'm not Quink. I'm Murphy, his campaign manager. This is our candidate right here.
Pleased to meet you.
Is there a party for a candidate like that?
Mr. Murphy said you can get me a lot of votes, Mr. Hope. He said that you could get me plenty of support on November 4th.
Yeah, but what's going to hold you up till then? Now, let's get started on this campaign. We've got to make Faultless Quink look like a typical candidate. Quink, can you raise a mustache?
Well, I raised one once, but I had to shave it off. It made me lose my balance.
Well, IQ never gives up. Maybe you can still look like a candidate. You got any glasses?
I thought you'd have the glasses. I brought the booze. I mean, you don't have to worry about Faultless J. Quink. His record is clean. Tell him about yourself, Faultless. When you were a boy, didn't your mother want you to grow up and be president?
She wasn't sure I'd grow up.
Well, we're not getting started on this campaign any too soon. The opposition is pouring a steady stream of propaganda over the radio. I'll switch it on and show you.
The following is a political announcement paid for by the Republican Party.
Is a dapper Dan, that's why I'll vote Republican. He's got good looks and a lot of dash. I'd like to kiss him on his cute mustache. Tickle, 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 tickle.
There you see. But don't worry about it. I've already got my boys working on some hot copy for our client. Now, Quink, is there anything in your background the opposition may use against you? Did you ever do anything you were ashamed of?
Well, yes, there is.
What is it?
Well, I never told anybody before.
Come on, Quink. Now, what did you do?
Well, I hate to admit it, but when I was young, I used to sneak into the campfire girls' headquarters and let the air out of their marshmallows.
Well, you caught yourself just in time. That's how Humphrey Bogart got started. Murphy, just put down that our candidate is in favor of deflation.
By the way, IQ, how are we going to get that southern vote?
I'll figure out something. Quink, you got any relatives in the South?
Well, I used to have an uncle in Kentucky.
That's great stuff. Mark it down, Murphy. Just think of it. He's got an uncle who's one of the first to find old Kentucky colonels, a pillar in his community, a citizen who was both trustworthy and honest.
He was a horse thief, and they hung him to the highest tree in the town.
Hung him to the highest tree in town? What'll I write down, IQ?
Just say that everybody looked up to him. Now, the next thing we'll do...
Hi, Chief.
We got it, we got it. The campaign song for Faultless Quink.
Is it good?
It's great. And you know what, Chief? We tied it up with the names of all the products you advertise.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
If you want the country cleaned up, cast your vote for Faultless Quink. He's had cleaning up experience using Drano in his sink. He
dresses in the latest fashion, arrow shirts and things like that. Even when he takes a bath, he always wears an Adam hat.
I'll tell you. He uses Tums and also scents and shaves his legs with an ever sharp chick. He could never be offensive because he gargles with their wick.
That's Wink.
Doris Day with one of her favorites, written by Les Brown's Sentimental Journey. This is Doris Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. I'm gonna make a sentimental journey to renew. I've got my bag, got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, I long to hear that all aboard.
Seven,
that's the time we leave at seven.
Good, Doris.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Say, I haven't seen you since you took me to the Los Angeles Dons football game Friday night.
Yeah, it was great. Say, I hear Hi Everback was wonderful announcing the game.
Oh, gee, I wish I could have heard it.
Well, I just happen to have a record of the broadcast with me. Doris, would you like to hear it?
Oh, wonderful, Hi. Play it for me.
Okay. What a game. The score is tied. Just a few seconds left in the fourth quarter, and the L.A. Dons are on the Baltimore 5. It's fourth down and goal to go. The ball is snapped and Dobbs crashes through center. There's a terrific pileup on the goal line. And there's the referee's whistle. Is it a touchdown? The referee raises his hand. What a thrilling moment. You've never seen such soft, white hands before. You can tell he uses swans.
Take it easy, folks. Either we sell it this way or I have to spend Saturdays in Thrifty's window scrubbing Sydney Greenstreet's back. Hi, let's get back to the game. Did they score?
Of course, Bob. Swan always scores.
Isn't he sneaky?
Just try Swan in the bathroom and see how the family goes for those rich, creamy suds. See how wonderful your skin feels after a Swan bath. And there's none of that unpleasant, taut, soapy feeling because Swan rinses away rapidly and completely.
You're telling me I tried it last night and it took me 5 minutes to climb back out of the drain.
So don't forget, folks. Don't forget, whether you've got your eye on the scoreboard or the washboard, you'll find Swan is a winner every time. Use half in the kitchen, half in the bath. Wherever you use it, Swan is the best soap afloat.
Well, I Swan.
Me too.
Gee whiz.
That's right.
Bye, Cracky.
Went down to Virginia. No one sent for me. Went down to Virginia to see what I could see.
Well, he found the horses fastest and the gals the best, and the spirits of the state are guaranteed high test.
Gee, I'm glad I came down to Virginia. This nice little southern town, too. There's the village square, there's the courthouse, and there in front of the courthouse is a statue of a real southern hero, Phil Harris. Took cement to make him stand up. Boy, here comes a real Virginia Belle. I think I'll try out this Southern hospitality. I beg your pardon, miss. Well, I'm a stranger here in town. I come from up north.
Up north? Shonuff?
No, Cleveland. That's right next to Shonuff. You see, miss, I don't know many people in town. I thought maybe we could get acquainted.
Well, I don't usually talk to strange men unless they talk to me first. But anyway, my name is Doris, Ellie Mae, Barbara, Jean, Margaret, Lee, Marcia, Peggy, Ann, Susan, Beauregard.
I'll just call you We the People for short.
Well, what's your name, Sugarfoot?
Robert, but you can call me what my friends call me.
What do your friends call you?
Robert, I've got very dull friends.
Well, now, I do declare, honey, you're the cutest little old boy I ever laid my eyes on.
Well, say it slower.
Well, tell me, honey bun, are there any more up north like you?
No, after they made me, Russia stole the plans.
We went down to Virginia and didn't know a soul.
No wonder folks befriend you, their hearts are made of gold.
Well, the civic-minded citizens are all so kind. They see you with your hook of fish in every line.
Gee, Doris, we've been going together for quite a while now. When are you going to ask your father when we can get married?
Well, now, you know how Daddy hates northerners.
Well, I'm not afraid of your father. I'll meet him face to face, and I'll get out face to face, and I'll get his... I'll meet him that way, too, if you don't mind. And I'll get his permission to marry.
Oh, my stars. Won't it just be wonderful when we get married and y'all come home from work and I've got the chitlins waiting for you? Oh, by the way, darling, do you like chitlins?
Yeah, I'm crazy about chitlins. I hope her first one's a boy.
So he stayed down in Virginia. That's how much he'd been sold.
So blessed the day that brought me here. And bless the folks I love so dear.
Oh, hello, Daddy. Look what I brought home with me.
What's the matter with you, daughter? Ain't we got enough boll weevils around the place now?
Oh, this ain't no boll weevil, Daddy. This is Robert.
How do, boy? Say, I hope you ain't a northerner.
Well, I...
Last time I caught a northerner on my property, I whipped him till he was a cherry red. Then I chopped him up in little pieces and fed him to my hound dog. Where'd you say you was from, boy?
Oh, black eyed peas and candy, Gans, and that's what I like about
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Robert. Go on, Robert. Put the question to him.
Okay, so, as you know, I've been sparking your daughter for quite some time now.
You really stuck on her, eh, boy?
Colonel, to me, she's just as pretty as a baby ham hanging on a hook in the smokehouse.
And, daughter, are you gone on Colonel Hope?
So I am, Daddy. To me, he's just a vanilla-flavored, sweet, molasses-covered, sugar-coated honey boy.
Please, you make me feel like one of Cougat's nougat.
Well, appears like there's going to be a wedding. Doris, I wish your mother could be alive to see her beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed daughter getting married.
Tell me, did Doris look like a mother, Colonel?
Shucks, no. Her mother was the ugliest old bat in Virginia. That woman's face was so ugly she had to wear a bonnet with slats. Boy, she was triple ugly. No man in the whole state would come near her.
Well, how'd you come to marry her?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. Well, good luck, you.
Stay down in Virginia.
Yes, sir. chair right now, folks, it's a pleasure to introduce a man who brought showmanship to big-time baseball. A guy who, in a great measure, was responsible for bringing the world's baseball crown to Cleveland, the former Fighting Marine and now president of the Cleveland Indians Baseball Club, Mr. Bill Veeck, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Certainly a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, Bill.
Say, you know, I've been sitting over here watching the show. You've got a lot of rackets, haven't you?
Well, don't look at it that way. Let's get down to business. Did you bring my share with you?
Bob, take it a little easy. You know, we haven't counted all that dough yet.
There's a lot there to count to. I wish I could help you. But look, Bill, seriously, with me, money is secondary. The thing that matters with me is sentiment. You see, I have a great fondness for the city of Cleveland. After all, I grew up there, and I love that town.
That's a wonderful attitude, Bob. Of course, I had a check here for several thousand dollars, but because of your attachment to Cleveland, you won't want it.
Shake hands with a tourist. But seriously, Bill, it's swell having you here. We both have so much in common. For instance, we're both big men in the sports world, aren't we? Well, we're both big men. Well, we're both men. Call for Philip Morris. But I hope you appreciate the great moral support I gave the Indians when I was back there for the series.
Moral support? Bob, you really embarrassed us back there.
How?
Well, whenever Lou Boudreau sent a player to the showers, he looked so silly, run along behind him, yelling, "You swan, you get more bubbles."
Yeah, and I had to run in for my free seat in the bleacher. I mean, my seat in the bleacher. What the? I had to run in for my seat in the bleachers to do it.
Bob, you had a real good seat. Right at the north end of the stadium.
Yeah, it was north, all right. It was so far north, there were two people next to me wearing fur coats and rubbing noses. And a guy kept coming around selling hot blubber on a roll.
Gotta keep your family working some way.
What do you do, write stuff on the plane? What are you doing? Well, I want you to know that I was ready to get in the game anytime you wanted me, Bill. Of course, you know I'm an all-round athlete.
Bob, I could tell you were an athlete the first time I laid eyes on you. Just take a look at those big, broad shoulders. A tremendous chest. And lean, hard stomach and the bulging biceps.
Honest, Bill?
Truly.
I have so much more than gorgeous, George. Why should I fight it? But you know, Bill, around Cleveland, they tell me that you seldom wear a tie. Is that right?
That's right, Bob. And after that tie of the Red Sox, I'll guarantee I'll never wear one.
That was rough. I don't blame you. That American League playoff left me a nervous wreck, too. I chewed my fingernails all the way down to my wristwatch. But seriously, Bill, everybody from the Cleveland bat boy to the president...
We thank you so much.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome those two young comedians from night spots, theaters, and radio. Really the sensation of the past year. The team of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Come in, boys. Thank you very much. Bill Veeck. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that wonderful music from a bygone era. It truly was a simpler time back then. You're listening to the Bob Hope Show episode Doris Day, which was first heard on October 19th, 1948 on CBS. I incorrectly reported that it first aired on October 4th, 1948 in my introduction, but that was actually the date of Bob Hope's first episode on CBS, not this episode. Rest in peace, Doris Day. Coming up next, we're going to travel to Riverdale and hear the comedy of the Andrews family in the series Archie Andrews. Archie Andrews ran from May 31, 1943 until September 5, 1952 and starred Bob Hastings as Archie for most of its run. The series was based on the popular Archie comics, which remain popular to this day. In today's episode, a seemingly simple problem turns into a huge conundrum. The episode is titled Fixing Flat Tire and was first heard at 10:30 on an unknown Saturday morning, either 1947 or 1948 on NBC. Enjoy.
Thank you. late, Jug. It's a matter of life or death.
Relax,
Archie.
Relax.
Yes, here he is again. The youngster millions of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Brought to you by Swift & Company, makers of Swift Premium Franks, Archie Andrews, and all his gang. And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's a sunny Sunday afternoon as we look in on the Andrews home, and we find Mr. Andrews in the living room, evidently getting a little impatient about something.
Oh, I don't. It's... Mary!
Yes, dear?
What are you doing now?
Oh, Fred, I'll be there in a minute. I'm just putting my hat on.
Mary, you
said... Well, Dad, I'm all set to go.
Oh, yes, Archie. Mary, you
said...
Well, day
for a drive to Newton Center.
Yes, Archie. Mary,
but
you said...
But we have to visit Aunt Hattie on a nice day like this.
Yes, Archie, we do have to visit your Aunt Hattie, and please be quiet.
Okay, Dad, okay.
Okay. Mary, you said you were putting your hat on half an hour ago.
Oh, Fred, that hat didn't look right. I'm putting another one on.
Oh, great.
Gee whiz, Dad, why do we have to visit Aunt Hattie today? She doesn't even know we're coming.
Archie, it is immaterial whether Aunt Hattie knows we're coming or not. We haven't been over to Newton Center in some time, and we have to visit your Aunt Hattie once in a while, and we might as well take the drive on a nice Sunday afternoon like this, so just get used to the idea and stop complaining.
She was okay, Dad.
Well, Dad, I'm all set.
Well, about time. Come on, let's go.
All right.
We want to be home before dark. We'd better get started right now.
Fred, there's plenty of time. And if you thought of driving over to Aunt Hattie's earlier, we could have left earlier.
All right, dear, all right. But let's just get started. Oh, good grief, look at that.
Look at what?
A flat tire.
Oh, for pity's sake. Fred Andrews, when did you do that?
Do that? Do that? Mary, I didn't do that. Flat tires have a way of happening all by themselves.
Gee, Dad, now we can stay home.
No, Archie, we do no such thing.
Oh.
That tire can be changed in 5 minutes. Now, let's get busy and get it done.
Okay, Dad.
Fred, can I do anything to help?
No, dear, you just stay out of the way. Archie and I'll handle this in no time.
Oh, all right, dear.
Here, Archie, here are the keys. Get the tools out of the trunk compartment.
Okay, Dad.
Oh, Archie.
Yes, Dad?
Be careful of the trunk door. There's something wrong with the supporting arm and it falls down.
Okay, Dad.
Now, get the bumper jack out first. That's it. Now, Archie, put the jack under the edge of the bumper and jack up the car.
Okay, Dad.
Now, just get some of these other tools out.
Boy, Dad, these bumper jacks are easier to set up than the old-fashioned ones where you have to get under the car, aren't they?
Archie, never mind the marvels of science. Just get to work.
I am. Gee whiz.
What happened?
Well, it went up a couple of notches and then slipped way down to the ground.
Well, you probably didn't have it on right. Try it again.
Okay, I'll put it back up.
Now, move the handle down slowly.
I am.
You see?
Yeah. Easy. There, you see, Dad, it doesn't work.
Oh, great. I never did trust these newfangled jacks.
Is something wrong, dear?
Yes, dear, something is wrong. This confounded bumper jack keeps slipping back.
Oh, dear. Well, what do we do?
Gee, Dad, now we can stay home.
Archie, we cannot.
Oh.
We'll have to get another jack someplace.
Oh, Fred, maybe we should call a garage and have them send someone out with another one.
And pay them an arm and a leg for the use of it? Nothing doing. We'll borrow one.
Borrow one?
Yes, Archie. You run over to Jughead's house right now. See if his father will lend you the jack from their car.
She was okay, Dad.
Yeah, and hurry.
Dad, I'll be back before you can say Jack.
Oh, boy. Well, might as well get the other tools out of this trunk while I'm waiting.
Fred, look out for the trunk door. Look out!
Oh! Oh, my head. Oh! Oh!
Fred, don't you know that door falls down?
Now she reminds me.
Gee, I hope Jug's father will lend us his, Jack. We sure picked a fine time to get a flat tire. Gee whiz, what's taking them so long to answer the door? Oh, great. great. Nobody's home.
Now, how do you like that? Just when I gotta borrow something very important, they're out. I never saw such.
Yeah,
what was that? She was. It's Jughead sleeping on the porch swing.
Yes, sir. Hetty, kiss me again.
Oh, great, he's dreaming. Jughead.
Come on, Hetty, give me a kiss.
Jughead, wake up.
Please, give me a kiss, Hetty.
Jughead, wake up.
Hey, please, give me a kiss.
Jughead, don't.
Hey, please, Hetty.
Jug, I don't.
Hey,
Jug, I... Jughead! Oh, great. Now he's gone back to sleep. Jughead, wake up. Jughead!
Huh? What's the matter?
Jughead, will you wake up?
Where's Hetty?
There's no Hetty.
Gee, you mean I was dreaming?
You sure were, Jughead. And you kissed me.
Gee, a nightmare.
Jug, don't be funny. And tell me what you're doing sleeping out here on the porch with nobody home.
I don't know. Just sleeping. My folks went to visit my Aunt Matilda, and I didn't want to go, so they left me home, and I fell asleep.
Well, I'm glad you did. Jug, I got to borrow a jack.
A what?
An automobile, Jack. We got a flat tire.
Gee, my father had a flat tire last week. And boy, did we have trouble.
Jughead, I...
Boy, did we have trouble.
Jug, I don't have...
Boy, did we have trouble.
Jughead, I'm not interested in your trouble. I just want to borrow a jack.
That was our trouble. No jack.
Oh, fine.
Fred, how does your head feel now, dear?
Oh, rotten, but I guess I'll survive.
Oh, that was an awfully nasty wallop.
Yes, dear, I know. Let's just forget it. It'll be all right.
Fred, are you sure you don't want me to call a garage?
Mary, I do not. I can change a little flat tire by myself.
But if we're going to visit Harriet,
get to Harriet in plenty of time. If Archie ever gets back here with that jack. What the dickens is keeping him, anyway?
Oh, he'll be back any minute, dear. But you better get the spare tire out while you're waiting.
Yeah, I guess I'd better.
I'll be in the house if you want.
Yes, dear. Fine thing. Go to get some tools out of the trunk, and I get conked on the head by the trunk door. I
hello?
Don't... No! Oh, good grief. Jughead!
Who'd you expect? Henry Ford?
No, Jughead, no. I was not expecting Henry Ford, nor you.
Gee whiz, where'd you get the bump on your head?
Jughead,
it's almost as big as my Uncle Herman's nose.
Jug, you know...
And boy, that's big.
Jughead, will you keep your uncle's nose out of my business?
Gee whiz, okay.
Okay. What are you doing here, anyway? Archie just went over to your house to borrow a jack.
I know, and I didn't have one, so he went over to Betty's to borrow one.
Oh, fine.
But after he left, I looked out in the garage, and I found this old jack laying there.
Yeah, I might have known you. Found that old jack. Why, Jughead. That's wonderful. Terrific. Thank you, Jughead. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay.
Now I can go ahead and change that tire without waiting for Archie.
Yeah, but Mr. Andrews, it's not a bumper jack. It's the old-fashioned kind that you have to put way under the car.
Oh, now, Jug, don't you worry. That doesn't matter the least bit. The old-fashioned kind work much better than the new-fangled contraptions. Now, I'll just get down here under the car and put it in place.
But, Mr. Andrews, I...
Right under the axle here.
Mr. Andrews,
that
you...
would be all set.
Mr. Andrews, I...
Jughead, what is it?
You're wearing your best suit.
Well, naturally, I'm wearing my... Oh, good grief, I forgot all about it. Jughead, have I gotten it dirty?
Well, not very. Just a little dirt on the pants and some grease on the jacket.
Oh, that's great. Ah, well, damage is done. I might as well finish the job now and change my suit later.
Yeah.
There. Jack's in place. Now, Jughead, give me the handle.
The what?
The handle to the jack. You can't work a jack without a handle.
Gee whiz. I never found any handle. Mr. Andrews, what are you getting so red about?
Gee whiz, I hope Betty's father has a jack we can borrow. It's a fine time to be running all over town to borrow things. Boy, I hope Betty's family is now, too. Oh, that'd be a fine thing. If she isn't home, I don't know
why. Why, Archie?
Hello, Betty. Gee whiz, what are you doing with that bowl?
Mixing a cake batter. And I have to keep stirring till it's just right.
Oh, well, Betty.
Have you ever seen anyone mix batter before?
Well, Betty,
it's very important to get it stirred just right.
Well, yes,
not too thick and not too thin.
Well, yes,
not too flat, not too lumpy.
Yes, but Betty.
Did you know that?
Well,
would you like to taste the batter?
No, Betty.
Or would you rather wait and taste the cake?
Well,
I guess you better wait. The cake's always better than the batter.
But Betty,
golly, Archie, you're not saying very much. Is something wrong?
Betty, nothing is wrong. But when I came over to... Betty, do you have to keep stirring that thing?
Yes, Archie. If I stop now, it's ruined.
Oh, great. Well, Betty, what I came over to ask is, do you happen to have... Oh, fine.
Oh, golly, the phone.
Yeah, the phone.
Archie, hold this mixing bowl while I answer it.
But, Betty, I don't...
keep stirring.
Oh.
Hello? Archie, stir.
I am.
Hello? Oh, Agatha, how are you?
Oh.
Good. Me? I'm fine. What, you got a new dress? Oh, Agatha, how wonderful. Tell me all about it.
Archie, stir.
I am.
Hello, Agatha. You were saying about your new dress. What's it like? It is?
Oh.
It does? It has?
Oh, great, Betty, would you...
What else,
take a...
Agatha? Oh, you don't say.
Archie, stir.
I am. I'm going stir crazy.
But, Agatha, how long is the skirt? It is? It was? It will be?
Oh, fine, Betty. I'm in a
hurry. Agatha, you come over and show it to me tonight. You would? You can?
Oh.
You will? Oh, that's wonderful, Agatha. See you tonight. Bye.
Oh, well, I'm glad that's over.
Archie, stir!
Betty, I am stirring. But can I get a word in now?
Of course, Archie. What is it?
Well, I came over to ask if you have a jack I could borrow.
A what?
A jack, an automobile jack. You know, for changing tires.
Oh, a jack. Well, golly, Archie Andrews, we probably do have a jack, but I wouldn't lend it to you if we did.
Huh?
Not if you were the last boy on earth.
But, Betty...
Now, give me my cake better and go on
home. Oh, and Betty, I'm...
Very idea.
Oh, Betty, quit pushing. I'm going. But would you mind telling me why you're mad at me?
Of course I'll tell you. You just ruined my cake batter by too much stirring.
Oh, no.
Well, Archie sure has his troubles trying to borrow a jack. But trouble is one thing you won't have at mealtime if you serve Swift's Premium Franks, for it takes just 7 minutes for these plump, juicy Franks to simmer, and then they're ready to serve, ready to be enjoyed by all. So for a quick, easy-to-fix meal, ask for Swift's Premium Franks. Now remember that name, Swift's Premium Franks, for these are the Franks of all dinner quality meat. Yes, each mouth-watering bite of Swift's Premium Franks is a flavorful blend of tender beef and juicy pork, all dinner quality meat. And to make sure that each luscious link reaches you at the peak of its flavor, every pound of Swift's Premium Franks is wrapped in a cellophane flavor saver pack that seals in all the natural goodness of these high quality Franks. What's more, Swift's Premium Franks are made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast. So whenever or wherever you buy them, you know they're fresh. Ask for them today. Fresh, flavorful Swift's Premium Franks. The Franks of all dinner quality meat. And now back to the Andrews. While Archie is still hunting down an auto jack so his father can change the flat tire on the Andrews car and the Andrews can get started on their visit to Aunt Harriet, Dad is having his share of troubles at home.
Gee, I'm awful sorry about that jack handle, Mr. Andrews. I never even stopped to think you'd need one.
Oh, Jughead, let's just forget the whole thing. I'll just wait till Archie gets home
Fred,
and then...
What happened?
Oh, nothing serious, Mary, nothing serious. I just crawled under the car with that tire jack Jughead brought over, got my suit all full of grease and dirt, then found out Jughead never bought a handle for the jack.
Oh. Well, Fred, why don't you let me call the garage and have them send
Mary,
out a jack?
Mary, nothing doing. I'll change that tire myself if it kills me. And at the rate I'm going, it might. But I'm still going...
Oh, now, who can that be?
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Betty.
Hi, Jack. Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Betty. Jughead, I thought you said Archie went over to Betty's house to borrow a jack.
Oh, he did, Mr. Andrews. But I got mad at him and wouldn't give it to him. But then after he left, I was sorry I lost my temper, so I brought the jack over.
You did? Why, Betty, that's fine, dear. That's wonderful. That's... Betty, where is the jack?
I left it out at the car.
Oh, well, come on. I'll go down there and change that tire right away.
But, Fred, aren't you going to wash?
Might as well wait till I finish with the tire, dear.
Well, Betty, I'm really glad you didn't stay mad at Archie.
I am, too. I am, too.
However, the first thing I'll have to do is get under that car again and take Jughead's Tire Jack out of there.
Jughead's Tire Jack?
Yeah, I bought a jack, but we can't use
it. It'll just take me a second to get this one out.
Golly, you're getting awfully dirty under there, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, it doesn't matter. My suit's all dirty anyway. Here, Jug, take this jack.
Okay, I got it.
All right. Oh, Betty, hand me your jack.
Here you are, Mr. Andrews. Got it?
Yep, I got it. Betty?
Yes?
Is this the jack you brought?
Uh-huh. Is there something wrong with it?
Betty, I hate to disillusion you, but this jack happens to be a crank.
A crank?
Gee whiz.
Yes, Betty, a crank.
Well, golly, can you change a tire with it?
No, Betty, you cannot change a tire with it. A crank is made for starting motors.
Oh, well, I'm so glad it's good for something.
Oh, you're right. Well, I'm glad I won't crawl under this car again so you can hand me a crank. Here, take it back and I'll come out.
I have it.
All right, now I... Oh, that's funny.
Well, something wrong, Mr. Andrews?
I don't know, Betty. I got under this car of mine all right, but I don't seem to be able to get back out.
Golly!
Gee whiz!
I'm stuck. What's holding me?
Looks like your rear end.
What?
Your shoulder's stuck under the rear end.
Oh. Well, how am I going to get out?
Well, Mr. Andrews, the only way is to crawl forward. It looks higher up front.
Oh, good grief. I guess I'll have to.
Oh, that's it, Mr. Andrews. Look out for that big pipe.
I see it. I see it.
Watch that hook.
What hook? Oh.
That hook.
Oh, good grief. What ripped?
Probably the rear end again.
Oh, great. First I dirty my suit, now I rip my pants. Oh, how do I get into these things?
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Andrews. You're almost out now.
Yeah, come on. Help me up, Betty.
Take my hand, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's nice to be out in the open again. What I want to know is how come I was able to crawl under that car with no trouble at all, and all of a sudden the car was too low for me to Jughead.
Huh?
Jughead, how long have you been sitting on that bumper?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since right after you crawled under the... Is that what made the car too low?
Yes, Jughead, that's exactly what made the car... Barry, look, the fewer questions you ask, the better. I am going inside and throw this best suit of mine into the rag bag. And Mary, would you call the garage and tell them to send out a jack, please?
Gee whiz, if I don't find a jack someplace soon, Dad's gonna be ripping mad. I sure hope Veronica's got one. I would.
Hello,
wanna...
Archie. Hi, y'all, Archie-kin. It's awful nice to see y'all, Archie. Dear. Come in, Archie.
Gee, thanks, Veronica, but I can't stay out.
But, Archie, I want to ask you about tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Uh-huh. I thought we'd take a nice long drive out to the lake.
Gee.
And park underneath the moon.
Gee.
And then you'll put your arms around me.
Gee.
And hold me tight.
Gee.
And then you know what you'll say?
Uh-huh.
What?
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, dear. Huh?
I said goodbye, Veronica. I'm going out now.
All right, Mother. Bye. Now, where were we, Archie?
Gee, I don't know, Veronica. Oh, yes. Veronica. Veronica, there's something I gotta ask you.
Yes, Archie?
Does your father have a jack I could borrow?
A jack? An automobile jack?
Uh-huh.
Well, of course he does, Archie. A very fine one.
Oh, that's swell.
But you
that's
see,
terrific.
But
I've been looking everywhere for a jack.
But, Archie, I'm trying to tell you. Mother and Father just went out for a long drive, and they've got the jack in the car. Well, Fred, I'm glad you finally decided to be sensible about it. I'll go call the garage right now, and they'll send someone out here to do the job right away.
Yes, dear. Now, Jughead, I'm going in to change suits, but while we're waiting for the garage man, you and Betty try to get the hubcap off that flat tire and get the lugs loose. It'll save some time.
Okay, Mr. Andrews.
And when Archie gets back here, you tell him I want to see him.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Gee, Mr. Andrews looks a little mad about something.
I guess he is. But let's get that hubcap off like Mr. Andrews said, Jug.
Okay. I'll get a hammer and screwdriver out of the trunk compartment. Here's a hammer, but I don't see any screwdriver.
Well, what's that back there behind the spare tire, Jug?
Well, that might be a screwdriver. I'll crawl in and see.
Is it?
Yeah, but it's stuck back here. Hey, what happened?
Golly, the trunk door slammed shut. Oh, Jug, did it hurt you?
No, it hit me, but open up.
Oh, I will, Jug. Golly, it's locked.
What?
I said the trunk is locked.
Betty, don't get technical. Just open the door.
Jughead, I can't without the keys.
Oh, get the keys.
Well, I called the garage.
Betty, what are you doing? Jughead's locked in the trunk.
Oh, all right, for a minute.
Who's locked in the trunk? Jughead.
Hey,
for pity's sake. Jughead, how'd you get locked in the trunk?
That's what I want to know. Get me out.
Oh, do you have the keys, Mrs. Andrews?
No, but I'll get them for Mr. Andrews and...
Oh, dear.
Well, what is it?
Archie must still have them. He opened the trunk in the first place.
Archie?
Yes. But Mrs. Andrews, Jughead could suffocate in there before Archie gets back here.
Oh, dear. What'll we do?
Get me out!
Oh, we'll have a trunk murder on our hands. Yes, and that's no way to spend a Sunday afternoon. Oh, golly, Mrs. Andrews, do something.
Oh, Betty, there's only one thing to do.
Oh, what's that?
Get me out!
Jug, be quiet for a minute. Betty, go look in the garage for a hammer.
A hammer?
Yes, there's a big sledgehammer out there. And the only way we'll get Jughead out in time is to smash the trunk open.
But Mrs. Andrews...
Betty, don't argue now. There's no time. Get the hammer.
Okay, Mrs. Andrews, I will.
Get me out!
Jug, we'll have you out in a minute. Now be quiet.
Well, did the man in the garage get here yet?
No, Fred, but something awful's happened.
This is the Andrews house.
Oh, here's the garage man now.
Yes, sirree. Here I am. Jack's the name.
Good. what did you say?
I said my name's Jack. Didn't somebody here send for Jack?
Oh, dear. I asked them to send a Jack, an automobile Jack. Not a man named Jack.
Oh, great. Mary,
Oh, is it heavy?
Betty, we don't want a hammer. What we want
is... Give it to me.
You mean nobody sent for me?
Mister, would you... Mary, what are you doing?
Oh, Fred, I have to get Jughead out.
Out? Out of where?
He's locked in the trunk.
Now, Betty,
How did he get in there?
He crawled in.
Betty,
What's going on here anyway?
Mary, you're wrecking my car.
Oh, Fred, it's in your car, Jughead.
I'll take my car.
Carter, Mrs. Andrews.
Betty,
Gee whiz, what's going on?
Jughead's locked in the trunk and we can't get him out till you get back. Now, as I was saying... No! Oh, good grief, Archie. Quick, unlock the trunk and get Jughead out.
Gee whiz, what's he doing in there anyway?
Archie, don't ask questions now.
Yeah, let me out.
Okay, Jug, okay.
There, Jug, you're out. But I still can't see anything.
Jughead, it might help if you open your eyes.
Gee, I forgot. Hello.
Hello. Now, listen to me, all of you. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Uh-huh. All I want to do is take a drive over to Newton Center and visit Aunt Harriet. And by George, I'm still going to visit Aunt Harriet, and right now. So, Mr. Garage Man, whatever your name is.
The name's Jack.
All right. Jack, can you change this tire or not?
Well, sure, but it'll cost you $5.
$5 to change a tire?
Sure, this is just like towing in a wreck. My time's worth money, you know.
Oh, great. All right, I'll pay the $5. Just get the tire changed.
Okay, I got a jack right in the service car. Take me a minute to fix it.
There, that settles that. Now, Mary...
Oh, for pity's sake, Fred, look.
Look at what?
Look at who just got out of that other car. Aunt Harriet.
Aunt Harriet?
She wished she came to visit us.
Aunt Harriet!
Oh, no, why did you tell us?
Friends, you really know what you're getting when you ask for Swift's Premium Franks, made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast, so you know they're fresh. Made by Swift, so you know they're top quality. Ask for them today. Swift's Premium Franks in the new handy 1 pound cellophane package. And while you're at your dealer's, be sure to ask for Swift's Brookfield sausage, the sausage with the just right seasoning. And don't forget that your dealer has a tempting variety of Swift's premium table-ready meats. Delicious bologna is being featured this week, and you'll find it to be a surefire hit in lunchbox sandwiches, after-school snacks, and late evening spreads. And remember, Swift's premium bologna is economical because it's all meat. No bones, no waste. Always keep some on hand for quick, easy-to-fix meals. For a meal in a flash that saves plenty of cash, get Swift's premium table-ready meats. And now back to the Andrews. It's several hours later. The garage man has fixed Mr. Andrews' tire, Dad has paid the bill, and Aunt Harriet has had a pleasant visit with them and is just getting ready to leave.
Well, Aunt Harriet, it certainly was nice to see you.
Yes,
sure was, Aunt Harriet.
Well, I enjoyed seeing you folks, too. But I'd better run along now. I want to get home before dark.
Yes, driving after dark isn't easy.
No, it isn't. Oh, good heavens.
So what's the matter?
My car. It has a flat tire.
Oh, no!
You've been listening to another chapter of The Adventures of Archie Andrews, written by Carl Zantel and based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics magazine. Archie was played by Bob Hastings, Jughead by Harlan Stone. Mom and Dad Andrews are played by Alice Uhrman and Arthur Cole. Veronica and Betty by Gloria Mann and Rosemary Rice. Jack the Garage Man was John Gibson. This program is produced and directed by Kenneth McGregor. Listen next Saturday when Swift & Company, makers of Swift's Premium Franks, brings you more of the merry adventures of Archie Andrews. This is Bob Sherry wishing you all a very pleasant weekend. So long. Swift & Company invites you to stay tuned for Meet the Meeks, which will be heard immediately over most of these stations.
It seems that no matter what the Andrews family is up to, they always manage to turn the simplest problems into gigantic escapades. I have to say that I love the ending of Aunt Harriet having a flat tire herself, even though I did find it rather predictable. You just heard the Archie Andrews episode Fixing Flat Tire from an unknown Saturday morning on NBC. Judging from the sponsor ads, the episode likely aired sometime in 1947 or 1948. Well, I'm afraid that we're almost out of time for today. Thank you so much for listening. I do hope you'll send me your thoughts on today's program. My email address is Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFASFM.com, and my mailing address is Old Part of the Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, BC, Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.